Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we conclude the message I've been sharing these last 2 weeks on Thy Kingdom Come. Those words are taken from the what we call the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave to His disciples when they asked, Lord, show us, teach us how to pray. We were again looking at the life of David, that the Lord gave him a pattern for establishing His physical kingdom on the earth, but there are spiritual principles that apply to us today as the body of Christ. We can accomplish the same things. We are preparing for the return of the King, where He will come and occupy the throne of His glory in Jerusalem, and He will subdue all nations. What a glorious day. We're waiting for the arrival of our King. And as we look at the signs of the times, that time must be drawing closer and closer with each passing day. But let's move on now to the final plan that God gave David, a type of Christ, for the establishing of the kingdom of Israel. This is the natural kingdom, but there are spiritual principles. And first of all, that he was to unite the tribes, whom we see that coming. Our power comes in unity, and that we will be able to do the works that Jesus has called us to do as we focus our attentions and our principles, the acts of our lives, upon the Word of God. That's one thing that will unite us. And then we see that the kingdom of God was set up by degrees. He established unity, and then he began to conquer the enemy stronghold of Jerusalem. The Jebusites had resided there, and that was, if you will, a representation of Satan influences and strongholds in our own lives. We are in the process of being delivered and set free. And the more we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, we find there are more and more like hidden areas in the areas of our heart of the where we want self. And one of the most beautiful things we see in the life of Jesus, his own will was totally surrendered to that of the Father. That's basically what we're talking about here, where Jesus always did the will of the Father, not his own will, but he came to serve. And that is our position right now. There's a time coming when we will rule and reign with him in the kingdom, but now we follow the divine pattern that Jesus set up for us to always do the will of the Father and to please him in all things. And then we see there's spiritual warfare. God gave him strategy. Remember in 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, the Philistines came up against him twice. He had to seek the Lord. He and his warriors, they were skilled men of war. They knew how to fight. Yet they had to go according to the Lord's plan. And that's the importance of seeking the will of the Lord and having complete dependency on God for his instructions and his timing in our lives. And then finally, what we want to focus on and conclude this message is the restoration of worship. The King is in residence. And one of the things perhaps you've noticed if you stayed as we've developed this message, that it was, even though David was skilled, he was a man after God's own heart, he wanted to please God, it was only God's way. Many times we can come up with a lot of different scenarios, but God was emphasized, and there was a strength to that. There was a power to that. There was a lack of compromise. Jesus was... He did only the Father's will. It wasn't what he desired to do. And we see that with King David. He had to depend on God for everything. how to proceed, how to see the kingdom restored to the rightful king, and that was King David, who was again a type of Christ. So we see in the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel a desire of David to worship the Lord. Of course, God's presence was manifest in the Ark of the Covenant. It was a literal ark that God had instructed Moses to build. The glory of God, the Shekinah of God dwelt therein. And so what they did, the first thing he wanted to do, he wanted to bring the presence of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. And they set an Ark of God, verse 3, upon a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab, where it had been. And the sons of Abinadab, Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the cart. And then there was a problem. One of the oxen stumbled, and so Uzzah stretched forth his hand and steadied the ark. His intentions were good, but it said in verse 7, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. He died by the ark of the Lord. So what had been a wonderful, jubilant celebration of bringing the ark into Jerusalem, it says David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And it says in verse 9 that David was afraid of the Lord that day. And that's, you see, the important thing. We must, in order for true worship, we have to have an understanding. We become so familiar with the Lord, we have in many cases lost the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. And he said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So, because what were they doing? He discovered those 3 months when he was in the house, the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. God blessed Obed-Edom. And of course, during that time, the word of God was consulted, and they found that even though they meant well, bringing the ark on a new cart was not what was to be done. Instead, and this is a beautiful spiritual principle, the presence, the ark of God, was to be carried by staves upon the shoulders of the priests. Beloved, that's our destiny. That's our command. We are kings and priests unto our God. And so we must worship God in the way that he desires. And so it says when he did that, the priests bear the ark of the Lord. They went 6 paces. There was sacrifice. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And there was rejoicing. And that was successful because they sought the Lord and had done it his way. And so what are we to learn in this? We must have a knowledge of God's word. There must be obedience and reverence and fear of the Lord. And as far as what occurred after he was done all those things God had told him to do, 1 Chronicles 15:17 says, and the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So, beloved, what are the parallels? What are the things we've learned these last few weeks? Well, we also are taking a kingdom. It says in the word, the violent take it by force, not to set up an earthly kingdom, but we are preparing for the return of the King of Kings. How do we do that? We follow the divine pattern set up in the word of God through the life of David. We must pray for unity in the body of Christ. Corporate, as far as all the various members across the face of the earth, only the Spirit of God can do that. And also personal, unite my heart to fear thy name, the word tells us. Paul's struggle, you remember that? I mean, the operation of the Spirit of God within his spirit, but his flesh was at odds, just true with us. And so we have to dislodge the satanic strongholds, those areas where the enemy would seek to cause us to walk in the flesh. That was what Paul was describing, the conflict in his own lives, his self-admission that only through the Spirit of God can we have victory. And then, of course, spiritual warfare. We need the full armor of God and our defensive weapons, the shield of faith, and then the offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit. We do our warfare not with carnal weapons, but in prayer by the Spirit of the Lord. And then the restoration of true worship. Remember in John, the 4th chapter, this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus said the Father is seeking them, because she was saying, well, we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And he said the hour is and is now coming when the true worshipers of the Father will worship in spirit and in truth. And so we must, I believe we need to pray for a return of the fear of the Lord to the church, a reverence for God, His presence, to desire a knowledge of His Word and the ability, strength to walk in it, to walk in obedience and in the fear of the Lord. Praise God. So as we draw this message to a close, I think this excerpt I'm going to share with you from Psalm 149, verse 6, has greater significance in the light of what we've just been sharing. That word says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What? That's the word of God. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Another final verse from Psalm 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Beloved, we're preparing the way of the Lord. We're preparing for the return of the King. In the final moments, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we're asking for your strength to fulfill the divine strategy for preparing the kingdom, for doing what we are recalled to do in the hearts of men. Help us to be living epistles, that city set upon a hill. And Lord, cause your Spirit to know, Lord, it's every single one of us that are working together in united heart and purpose to establish the ways of the Lord. Lord, there's no one significant. Every single member is an important part of your body in the earth. Lord, be glorified. Do the work that only you can do. And you alone will receive praise and honor and glory throughout the endless ages of eternity. We love you, Lord, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, it's been a privilege to share these divine truths with you. I love you, pray for you every day, invite you to write. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.